Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Wednesday here in H-Town. In fact, as I was about to set something up, I should let you know, first of all, that in this hour, we will give away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. So, and of course, if you win that, you also will be entered for a chance to win a grill at the end of the season.
You're darn right.
So that's a big thing that's happening.
And it's a great grill.
Is it really?
I know which one it is.
As opposed to a stinky grill?
It's not a stinky grill.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Excellent. But some more news on, you know, Texans that might be coming back, some reinforcements in some ways. Mm-hmm. A defensive lineman, Dylan Horton, according to Mike Garofolo, will return to practice today for the first time since last November, which was shortly before he was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, according to sources. So he's currently on the NFI list. He's in remission and completed his treatments in spring.
I said this to you during the break when we were talking about this. Houston Texans can kick that cancer butt, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And
Justin Berry did it. Mechie did it.
Absolutely.
Now Dylan Horton, we're kicking that butt.
Got a you know, reputation for being able to do that. But I don't even know how much that's about the organization themselves, although I'd like to, you know, obviously give them some level of credit. But the city of Houston, man, it's one of the things that's a blessing. One of the many things that's a blessing about the city, but in particular is just medical center here, man. It's literally one of, if not the absolute best place in the world to get medical treatment. And so that also the Texans get that benefit of it. And so it's great that you've been able to see some guys kick cancer, which is awesome. And so congratulations to Dylan Horton for that in and of itself. But then also it'll be great to have another defensive line player that can filter in with what the Texans are doing and help them apply pressure and heat up quarterbacks. Yeah. And that's probably really helpful this week in particular. Now, I don't know if he'll be activated for this week. We'll see how that plays out. But if he is, that big boy Josh Allen, man, he be rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. So, yeah, no, if you get some more dudes that can apply pressure and keep those guys fresh, that's a great thing that you can have. But let's talk about this this long-form piece by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He wrote a piece, and obviously, like, the timing is very particular.
Yeah, he did because of this game.
Texans, Bills are playing, and so the headline reads, Inside the Stephon Diggs Buffalo Bills Divorce. And, I mean, it's not just the Bills one, because he gets kind of background also from Stephon Diggs' time with the Vikings as well. But there's no comment from Stephon from the Bills, mm-hmm. right? But you can tell that he did a good amount of work talking to people in the building, right, and getting those kind of sources. And he paints a very interesting picture during the course of this. And it's not things that we're entirely unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to get some of the quotes that we did, including, right, talking about the actual divorce with the Bills, saying a team source said that Stephon Diggs is a tremendous player, but the offense didn't need him mm-hmm. anymore. And, of course, there's a lot of different things that you can point to. But he goes back. He talks about the Vikings time and how it went from Stephon Diggs just being, you know, real passionate, competitive, and that's something that pops up many times is the competition level, and he talks about that as well, about his competition level and how maybe through different the ways that things shift and when frustrations and you know, I guess a lack of production in some ways, not from him as an individual, but for when the offense, that sometimes that then becomes his personality, or not necessarily personality, but his competitiveness mm-hmm. ends up, you know, kind of I guess the word to use is greats in some ways,
irritating greats
on maybe the organization and possibly some of the guys on his offense. Is that how you read it? First of all, because I want to make sure that I'm passing along an accurate interpretation of this.
That's exactly how I read it. I think clearly this week is going to be a lot of talk about this.
Yes.
Jeremy did that story because the Bills, it's a reunion, so to speak, or whatever you want to call
revenge
it.
Revenge game.
Diggs and Buffalo, Josh Allen, and the relationship that he may or may not a couple of times have been referencing Stephon Diggs about, you know, with regard to how his team is playing. And we don't have how did he put it a couple of weeks ago? We don't have a guy in the locker.
Worried
not
about
everybody
stats.
Cares about stats. Yeah. Not
yeah.
Everybody cares about stats and all that. So it's there, and it's going to be, you know, one of the big underlying themes of this game. The thing that stood, I think I'm with you on this. And one quote in particular in this piece, kind of stood out, and I think it may or may not be true because it was from the ESPN piece, and I guess one NFL executive said, quote, he will wear on your quarterbacks, referencing what happened in Minnesota, referencing what happened in in Buffalo. And I've been very adamant, you know, kind of defending Stephon Diggs here because of that passion. Since training camp, we haven't seen that. You know, he's been unfairly characterized this way, I think unfairly characterized this way during training camp and some of his sideline conversations because he's an adamant guy. It hasn't been barking at C.J. Stroud or whatever. But this one line, because maybe he's intense. He's very much a pro that sometimes wants to make it clear. And I think one of the things that was said there, you know, as well, is like, what do you want me to want to lose? You know, to like losing? No, but that intensity is not a bad thing as I see it. But the wear on your quarterbacks thing is something that kind of maybe after a while you're like, look, I get it. You know, whether you're in Minnesota or Buffalo, like I get it. You're intense. You know, you're one of the guys that. Plays with an intensity like very few others. You have high demands of yourself and others. So that's not a bad thing, but can it wear on you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it did in Minnesota. It clearly did, as this piece outlines, in Buffalo. And that comes back down to C.J. Stroud. Is he the type of quarterback that can sort of handle this, you know, sort of deal with it and have that relationship that it doesn't wear on these quarterbacks?
Yeah, and I feel like we might need to examine exactly the quarterbacks we're talking about here. Because first of all, Kirk Cousins is the first quarterback we're talking about. And Kirk Cousins is a very particular type of player. He is a good quarterback. Let's start there. However, he is a frustrating quarterback if you are sitting on a couch.
Yeah.
Talk less of if he is your coworker and you have the some of the frustrations that clearly and evidently happen with Kirk Cousins, whether it's, you know, checking down at times or whether it's, you know, the inability to get the ball where you need to in the right moment, right? Those things are going to pop up. And with a competitor like Stephon Diggs, I think that I can understand where that would pop up. And Kirk Cousins, that feels like a situation where I probably am not as worried about that one. Josh Allen, I do wonder to what degree Josh Allen, it did great on him in particular. Cause it seems like, and it's worth noting that a lot of this story is sourced from team sources.
Yeah.
Right. And when, again, always considering the source, who is a team more likely or a team source more likely to side with, I guess, if we're going to make this binary of one side or the other, is obviously going to be the side where they are considering, like the side of, you know, whose interest they're invested in. And that's personnel for the most time.
Yeah.
Although I will give credit here. It feels like most of the team sources were glowing about Stephon Diggs as the person.
Yeah.
Right? About him and his competitiveness and all these things. But it seemed like it came down to just, it can grate on you. It did not feel like it actually grated on Josh Allen in the ways that it actually, like, in the way that it played out. Like, if Josh Allen or if Stephon Diggs had started in Buffalo and then it depart, I don't know that we talk about this in this way. I think it's because it starts in that place. And then, you know, I guess maybe the organization and the coordinators is where the real friction seemed to be in Buffalo as opposed to with the quarterback.
Yeah, just kind of wearing on them.
But that feels like that's the coordinator as opposed to the quarterback.
Yes.
So I think that gives me a little bit of, it gives me a lot, rather, of hope when it comes to CJ in this space in that it won't get to that place for him because he is also a competitor.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was looking at from this Jaguars game, and I don't remember exactly the play, but I remember seeing it, and shout out to, I believe, Houston Stressens on Twitter. I think I saw it there. That there was one of those plays that you could see from like the end zone view where CJ overthrows his receiver and he falls to his knees because there's that level of expectation you can tell within himself where just a play where he did not deliver in the way that he believes himself capable of sent him to that place. That's the type of competition and competitive nature that we're talking about with Stephon Diggs. And so I think that they're on a similar wavelength, and I imagine that probably will preclude this from getting to a place where those guys are not seeing eye to eye in that regard.
Yeah, and I think something else will too, because I actually, it was a fascinating story. It was a good story. And then you can go back to Minnesota, and we've seen several things. But I'm going to defend Stephon Diggs again.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to defend him is he's a different person. I think his priorities are different now. And I'm not, I'm not like buddies with Stephon, but I think you can see it. I think you can see like where with C.J. Stroud, Maybe there's a quarterback, as you talked about, that can sort of, you know, relate there and communicate in a good space, because it does work both ways. I could see where Stephon Diggs would be wearing on people. You know, we all have that friend. That,
no, for
whether
sure.
Whether they're chatty or whether it's they always ask us, you know, a lot of questions or whatever. And you kind of want to tell them, all right, I get it.
And they mean and they mean well.
They mean well, but you're like, okay, yeah. I get it. You know, and it just kind of wears on you if you do that over time. I think C.J. Stroud can handle that, number one. And number two, I think Stephon Diggs' priorities have changed. I think when he was in Minnesota and he's talking about, I didn't want to be the number two receiver, nothing against Minnesota, you know, all love, basically is what he said, but I didn't want to be the number two receiver. I don't think he's going to mind necessarily. And maybe I'm way off on this. Maybe it's still the same guy. And, you know, it's going to wear on him. One of the things I talked to you and Figgy about before the show, is this a warning sign because Nico's the number one? Nico's going to be the all pro. He's going to be the 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 yard receiver, whatever it may be. Is that a warning sign that Steph's not going to like that? I don't think so. That's just me. I think from what I've seen, from what where he is in his career, I think the Texans are getting Steph at just the right time in Steph's career.
I think the Texans also, like, we'd be lying if, or at least I'd be lying in my estimation, if I said that I didn't think that the Texans had some concerns about this, because that's why I believe,
it's a one-year contract.
That's why that contract ends up being structured in the way that it does. And some of it is also, you know, there's a lot of growth, there's a lot of future when it comes to the youth and talent of this wide receiving core and pass catchers. And I know that, you know, you have to consider maybe that you don't have situations or people in place where they are going to block potential development with no, you know, disrespect to the player's capabilities or anything like that. But yeah, like it clearly matters, right? Mm-hmm. I brought back up one of those situations where, you know, Nick Caserio sits down with John Harris and Vandermeer on Texans All Access, and Caserio talked about the fact that they consulted folks.
Yeah.
They talked to folks when it came to, yeah, like, you know, what the character of this guy, which is doing your due diligence with any situation. But the way that it was stated, it felt very apparent that that was something that they were concerned with and that they had some level of need to get clarification on. But I think that also means that they know what they're getting into in this regard. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say is a concern with Stephon Diggs isn't even necessarily some of this, because it seems very evident early on with the issues that we've had with with the offense, right? Obviously, a lot of that offensive line running game. But like, even with that, Stephon Diggs has been able to get his, and it's clear that what Stephon Diggs also helps as a multiplier to what Nico Collins does.
For sure.
I think that's evident.
Absolutely.
The question is, where is that push Tank Dell? And of course, Tank Dell got injured, but before that, it felt like Tank Dell had to shift his role. He was the guy in the three man triumvirate of this that had to shift in almost like a Chris Bosh type way to the Heatles, right?
More end arounds and, you know, other type routes than the big ones that he was running last year.
That would be the thing that I'm because Stephon Diggs has been accommodated, and I think rightfully so. He is that caliber of player when you add him to this roster. I do wonder, like, what does that mean for Tank Dell? And not saying that Tank Dell is now going to be some level of issue in any way, but what does that mean for him and his development, as you have him for a lot longer than you have Stephon Diggs at this point?
And his role this year when obviously they pushed a lot of chips into the middle of the table. But I just think, like, in NFL years, Diggs has grown a lot since then. But the thing that bothers me about this is that this is a good story, as we talked about, and it's relevant. And especially relevant this week because, you know, obviously they're playing the Bills and all that. But I think people and the critics are just going to pounce on it again.
Sure.
You know, they're just going to pounce on it again. Like, see there? And largely be off base. But at the same time, it's very clear that Steph does have that edge that can grate on people, as I said at the very beginning. Quote, he will wear on quarterbacks. It comes down to C.J. Stroud, how he handles it, how Steph, you know, kind of handles himself and embraces the role that he's in now.
Yeah, and I think that this is not going to wipe away those, I guess, allegations, what have you, right? Like, that perspective, because in this story, you're seeing detail that people were all super happy, and Josh Allen, they you know, they talked all the time and they hung out, and then you can see how maybe those dynamics shift over time. But one of the things that makes me feel just a little bit more comfortable is that on the outside, everybody can kind of have their concerns. It seems like inside that locker room, those dudes don't just like him. Mm-hmm. They love him.
They love
him. Right? Like, and of course, that is the things that, those are the things that are going to be said, right? Like, you, those are the instances where you go, what else is he supposed to say? But they've been glowing. And when I say they, it's not just individuals. Bobby Slowick was glowing, but then teammates, Tank Dell glowing, obviously Jay Stroud glowing, Nico Collins. Like, you can go up and down a lot of the main people that we're talking about that have that interaction with Stephon Diggs, and it's mm-hmm. all glowing. And so I have the feeling that you're going to have, and maybe this even helps in some ways, in developing an us versus them mentality, right? Sometimes you have a win for the gaffer type mentality in some situations, right?
Yeah.
And this might be, that might be some of what's happening in this locker room. Let's win for Stephon Diggs, where, you know, people, maybe not the Bills themselves, but maybe some of this, the Bills themselves, did not, they had thought this and that about our guy. Now, yeah. our guy. So let's go and show them that, one, that he's capable, then we are capable and we're better for having him there. I hope that that is the mentality that they take, and that that ultimately produces results for this team this week.
And good question from the 713 is, why would you, you know, even if CJ can handle it and CJ develops that rapport that maybe didn't happen with Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen, you know, why would you subject a young quarterback to that? I think you're subjecting the young quarterback to that, number one, because you're going to win, you're trying to win now. And you know, a drafted receiver, who knows what's going to happen there. And number two, I think because you realize, and you did your due diligence, that yes, you know, Stephon Diggs can wear on people. You know, as Ocho talked about as well on the text board, look, he's great, but he's annoying.
He can be.
Okay.
At least that's what we're getting from these different situations, possibly.
But you got, this is a one-year test. This is a one-year test, and there, you know, through a quarter of the season, pretty much, you know, there hasn't been, you know, any big issues, and he's embraced the role. So, yeah, I think it was a smart roll of the dice, given that how many receivers like Steph are out there that can not only be that good, but can help Nico.
Yeah. Speaking of rolls of the dice, you have a chance to be a winner right now. Caller number, we'll say, it's week five, right?
Yes, sir.
Caller number five, 713-572-4610, will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. If you are caller number five right now, 713-572-4610. In addition to it, if you win, you will be entered for the chance to win a grill at the end of the season, courtesy of Texas Star Grill Shops. So go ahead and get involved and be a winner right here with Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop, and we're coming right about that time where we get into our lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, so Ted Cruz.
What are you
Come
doing
on,
right
man.
Now? What are you doing right now?
I couldn't help but start the segment with that. Because I think I said this either yesterday or the day before. Put politics aside.
Yeah, literally. It. You
I'm
did this yesterday.
Music.
I was telling Reggie about my confession, Figgy. I'm like, well, this is going to get some people's attention, isn't it? Put it aside. Set it aside. Here's my
take your own advice.
I can't set it aside.
Yeah, you do that.
Here's my confession. Again, just to reiterate for those in the back that may not have heard, nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, it's an apolitical observation.
Absolutely apolitical. I don't think I would invite Ted Cruz to a big game
Correct.
Ever again.
100%. Absolutely.
Figgy?
Was he at the Astros game?
Yep.
I didn't realize that, man, but when you said that, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And that, again, apolitical because he has a reputation of showing up to these games,
Aggies Notre
Dame. Texas-related, right?
He showed up for Aggies Notre Dame. I'm like, that's it.
All right, there's that. I know that he's had instances with the Rockets of showing up to these games
Astros
and seeing them lose.
Year.
The Astros last year. Yeah, man, he pulls up to the game, and he has the Drake curse on it. And so, yeah, I personally would not necessarily. Although, is that something where I never know about this? So you tell me if I'm wrong here. Is that something where the team is inviting them, or is he just like, I'm showing up to this game?
Well, he's a big Houston sports fan.
I mean,
so
sure he is.
It could be either or.
You can do that from home though.
But I'm telling you, man, I went, oh no. What about Tyler to a road game?
Yeah, no, I am actively trying to work as Tyler's legal counsel, and I'm trying to find a workaround. But as of right now, no, he's in a bad place. Yeah, he's in a bad way when it goes to road Texans games, because what was it? Lost to the Broncos. Was that a couple years ago? Lost to the Panthers last year.
Vikings.
And then the Vikings this year. Yeah, man, you get three on the books, and now we are establishing a trend.
I'm not a big.
Oh, no, I don't think he actually has the power, however.
But I wouldn't do it right now at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so so it is kind of a superstition. I don't know, is it? Or is it just
I think it is when people bring it up. Like, to me, I feel like Tyler shouldn't have brung it up. I think if he never brung it up, people wouldn't even notice.
What, just said that he was going on a trip, he's on vacation, don't worry about him?
Yeah, I wouldn't have mentioned that every road game I went to for the Texans, they lost. I wouldn't have said that.
This is true.
I wouldn't have said I know Ted Cruz in a different situation where people know who he is, and you got people like us that will kind of peep all of that out, like, man, hey, every game he went to, they lost. So it would have eventually got out there anyway, but... Nah, they make it as superstitious when you mention it.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
See, there, we got through that.
Did we? Did we get through that? Watch this. These are my confessions. Talking about the baseball game and not about the other people just attending it, Lopez. Oh, yeah, I saw Yordan hit that double, and I was like, I know that Espada after the game was like, yeah, seeing him hit that double and, you know, get to second, it gave him some level of, like, I guess, comfort or whatever.
Yeah.
Complete opposite for me.
Me too.
I was like, oh, he is really hobbling, because I saw the ball off the bat, and, like, you know, you obviously get the perspective in the field, and I'm like, oh, okay. Depending on who's running, they might be able to try for third, maybe?
Yeah, no, not him.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's Yordan. It's fine. All right, we'll take a double here. Which, I mean, look, that's great, right? A double. And then I saw him turn the corner. I was like, ooh, is he even going to get to second?
Yeah.
The way that he was moving. And look, it makes sense with what he's dealing with. But, yeah, definitely hit him third. Like, yeah, we definitely don't want him to have to do too much running, because he does not look like he's capable.
I started worrying about today. And he said, you know, to be fair, he spoke this morning. And said his knee's not bothering him or whatever. You know, I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. But I'm like, okay, running like that, playing on the, you know, not in the field, but playing in that game, taking those cuts. I'm wondering about swelling. I'm wondering about, you know, some of the logical things that are out there. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, let's hope that things go the way that we want them to. But even if that's the case, the postseason continues, and Yordan is going to factor in, and so. Yeah. That is a place where I'm a little concerned, is Yordan not being able to move all that well. Mm-hmm. Although I guess at that point I just turn my attention to put it over the fence, big fella. Then you have to run too fast.
You can jog. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I gotta confess, I miss the live shows with live studio audience. So just like a regular, I mean, not a live show, but a TV sitcom with studio audiences.
Yeah, like
audiences.
You're talking about Good Times?
Yeah. I was going through some Good Times.
Is that the only one that existed?
No, there was a bunch, but I saw him tweet about it.
All right.
Yeah, I was going through some clips, and I'm like, man, you could just hear the belly laughs of people in those situations. You don't really get that from TV shows anymore.
No.
Now, I know a lot
of... Sometimes they would talk. I'd love, oh, whoa, you know, they'd say stuff.
Yeah, or you could hear that one person just...
one person. Distinctive laugh.
Yeah, so now you just... You really don't have that. I know TV shows don't really ask live studio audience, but... Now they just kind of fake laugh tracks, and it don't really hit the worst same part no about, more, man.
Absolutely, the worst part about the laugh track is that they don't. The laugh track is not discerning. They can just put the laugh track on anything. That's why I always got a problem with various shows, and I will go ahead and put one on blast. That Big Bang Theory that people like so much.
Yeah.
If you take the laugh track off it, that show sucks.
Oh,
man.
Get out of here!
Yeah,
I like
I'm
that
not,
show.
Hey,
thanks.
Reggie, I'm
you listen
with
to some
man.
Of them jokes, and you're like, those jokes like, are not funny. Like but you are being conditioned to laugh because they have the laugh track behind it. Nah. That joke, those jokes stink. They did not earn those jokes. If there was a live studio audience, them people would not be laughing, and you know
they would be belly laughing like
nah,
I love Lucy.
No, belly laughing? No, man. That's just they would be courtesy laughing. Like, let me just laugh to be polite. It would be
no,
those type
of
laughs.
That was a really good show.
Nah, man.
Disagree. Watch this. These are my confessions.
I wore dress shoes today for the first time in, I believe, 9 months. I hate dress shoes.
You hate dress shoes?
I hate dress shoes. I wear them as little as possible, but I wear them. I think dress shoes are probably the item that you have to wear that I hate the most. And it's not like they're uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a big dress shoes guy. I'd rather wear a tie with like slip-ons than
you would look crazy.
Than dress shoes.
I love dress shoes.
I don't mind a tie.
Yeah, dress shoes are great.
Especially if you in that type of vibe. It's a black tie event. Like, you got to go with the dress shoes, man.
Well, we're in an event here in NRG, and a little bit clients and stuff. So, I put on the dress shoes. I'm like, man, I hate every second of this. Is there anything like that? You just like ties. People don't like ties. I don't mind wearing ties.
Yeah, ties are cool for me. I'm trying to think if there's something that's like you have to, like, certain circumstances you have to wear, and it's just like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think
I'm not a big dress shoes guy, man. Just not going to I wear them.
You don't even be wearing like hard bottoms like that for real anyways.
No, not at all. Just regular old black. I got two pair of dress shoes. Yeah, black and brown.
Those look like the comfortable type of dress shoes.
Yeah, they're not uncomfortable. I just don't like dress shoes.
Okay. All right. Watch this. These are my confessions. One of the reasons that I was mad, and no, the Big Bang Theory jokes are not going over my head. A lot of them are bad. Let's be honest here. That's just writing things.
You sure you're keeping up with them?
Buddy, I am. One of the reasons I was mad that you started the confessions like the way that you did is because I had like a pseudo political one, and I felt like we're getting into a space where there's a lot of them.
Now we are in trouble.
I'm still blaming Lopez though. I mean, when you got the TVs and the thing happens, you put it on, right? At least I do.
Yeah.
And again, a political observation about a political thing. I just forgot how much the vice presidential debate is just my dad can beat up your dad.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, I forgot. I really don't like this at all.
I'm with you. And I was like, what am I doing? I checked in. I'm like, I don't care.
Like, it just feels.
I don't care.
It just feels so weird.
Oh, but you should care. No, I don't. I really don't.
It just feels so weird to have two dudes up there like, my dad can beat up your dad. No. Your dad sucks. My dad can beat your dad up.
That's exactly what it is.
And somebody said bathing suits.
Bathing suits? I don't know.
Bathing suits.
Biggie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, no. Yeah. I was just thinking about
it. Uncomfortable.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I got to confess, I was super interested to see why AJ Griffin, former short-term Rocket, stepped away from basketball until I saw people on social media going down that conspiracy rabbit hole, man. Once I seen that, I'm just like, nope, I'm good, man. Yeah. You had people. So people, if you don't know, he stepped away from basketball to follow his religious journey. And,
he's going to be a minister, isn't he?
Yeah.
A pastor?
So he doing it because of a faith thing. And you had people talking about he's in a cult. And you gotta hear about why his dad got fired from Milwaukee, and you could tell by his eyes and the way he's talking, it seemed like hostage video.
Every topic, there's something.
Dude, I'm like, man, I'm staying away from this, man, because I was legit curious to see what's making him step away from the game of basketball. And when I seen why, I'm like, okay, I ain't gonna step into that. Like, that's between him and God.
Yeah,
so if he feel like he need to step away from the game, then, I have no pushback for that. But when I start seeing all the conspiracy, I'm just like, man, get out of here, man.
Is there anything that doesn't become that now?
No.
Like, do you know the real reasons this happened? Mm-hmm. Or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like,
When stuff like this is like the perfect topic for social media, for people that just go down this rabbit hole, for people that go on Reddit. To just talk about, because you heard his political view, and he's like that. What's that guy from that used to play for Orlando? Isaac, I think.
Oh, Jonathan Isaac. He's still there.
Yeah, he's still there. And people start comparing them to him, and I'm just like, dude, like, why y'all got to make social media not fun? Like, this topic is not fun.
Social media is such a love-hate relationship because it's such a great news feed.
Yeah.
And then it's such an awful place.
Well, the thing that makes it great also makes it awful is that you have access to the thoughts of people that you would not always have access to.
Yeah.
And so that is great because it allows you to expand your horizons at times and get perspectives that you did not or maybe would not have considered. But also, sometimes it gives you the thoughts of people and particular thoughts that you would not want to engage with, and you usually would silo yourself off from at times. And yeah, that's the give and take of that particular device.
I got one more, Figgy. Watch this. And I saved this one for last.
Oh, no.
No, because I want to know how you and Figgy and all our listeners on YouTube and Twitch and text board feel. Honest opinion, I miss AJ Hinch. I miss that guy. And it's not just, you know, I felt like obviously he should have done more. You know, he got fired because of what happened. I think other people probably should have been as well, if not, you know, not him. But I just miss that acumen. It's just little stuff. Just looking at him yesterday, I was like, God, I miss that guy.
Yeah, man.
You guys miss him?
I do.
By all accounts, good dude, good manager.
Good
like,
dude.
It just, it's one of those circumstances where it had to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I've come to terms with that aspect of it. But I can appreciate that perspective is that, it would have been nice to keep him here. I know that people have had their issues with Dusty. I was happy to see Dusty get his, if I'm going to be completely honest about that personal attachment of it. Ultimately, I think it's worked out pretty well. But no, it would have been cool to see AJ Hinch continuing to see like you build not just a dynasty of sorts with the just team itself, but then also have that figure as well that goes along with it. That'd have been cool.
I miss him. I know he had his bad moment in 2019, but I think they would have. I mean, they would have been so much better to have just have him the whole time.
All right, there you go. Lunchtime confessions. We probably should have waited until that series is over, though, because the Astros are playing against AJ Hinch's Tigers.
And they might beat him.
Yeah, let's do that. In less than an hour, first pitch will get going at Minute Maid Park. Spillane is there. Is B-Sky going to be there again today?
I'm guessing yes.
I believe so. So follow those guys on Twitter for sure. That's always fun to see the things that they're talking about during the course of the game as well. That's a good social media usage there. But you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's get into some NFL overreaction or not for Week 5. We do that next on Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you right here. Texans practicing.
Yeah.
And we got some updates from the practice field, not too far from where we are sitting. Tank Dell is back at practice, thankfully. Joe Mixon has not been spotted at practice yet. Let's see some other things that are happening here. Damian Pierce is practicing. So he's getting back at it. And then also Jimmy Ward back at practice after he was dealing with the groin that ultimately made him miss Week 4. Now, I don't know. Is this the big thing of this, Lopez? Do we feel like this is the big news? We're still working on the Joe Mixon. Maybe he's just not practicing, which would be interesting after he practiced on Friday.
That's so bizarre. And maybe you have to start thinking about maybe he aggravated something, but I don't want to go there just yet.
And trying to lead up to get himself ready?
Yeah, but I kind of expected him to practice because I guess – was it Aaron Wilson reported that they expected him to be back this week? Somebody did.
Yeah.
But,
of course, expectations are one thing. What ultimately then transpires is another.
Who else is not practicing?
Well, a few places. Laramie Tunsil.
Veterans Day?
Is not practicing. I don't know exactly what's happening with him.
He's got a target on my back.
You know, according to Jonathan M. Alexander, Laramie Tunsil not dressed out for practice. He suffered an ankle injury, so we're leaning towards that's the ankle. But it better be that.
It better be the ankle.
I imagine
you
that
better be hurt.
That I don't exactly want that to be it. However, you know what I mean. Like the people will not really appreciate hearing Laramie Tunsil just needed to take a day off just to do so.
Yeah.
So yeah, that those are the things that we're seeing from the practice field as of right now. All right, let's get into some NFL overreaction or not, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? So let's go through some of the things that we picked up from Week 4, and we begin with some NFL reaction or not with this. The Washington Commandos are the favorite to win the NFC East. Overreaction or not?
Boy,
get involved. Text the text line 713-572-4610.
I really want to say yes. not an overreaction. You know, not an overreaction. I mean, you've seen what I've seen. You've seen what the NFL's seen from Jaden Daniels and the points. What's the number now? How many consecutive drives has it stopped? I think at one point they had 16 consecutive drives with points.
Ooh, I'm not certain on that.
That's unreal. I mean, how many teams can go 5 consecutive drives with points?
A real testament to obviously Jaden's ability to immediately step in and run the offense, but also a testament to the offense, right?
Yes.
Like that's a offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury who he had his rough times in Arizona. He built mm-hmm. an offense that absolutely could go, but then it had its limitations and it sputtered at times. And they're off and they're running early.
Man, I'm gonna say that's not an overreaction. I think they are. I mean, the Eagles have some issues. Cowboys have some issues.
Cowboys have a lot of issues.
Giants are a mess. Yeah, and by the way, the Giants apparently not going to start Daniel Jones, huh?
Oh,
did you hear that?
I missed that.
There's some rumors out there that the players are asking to start someone else.
The players are asking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a real bad place to be. But you know, they probably should have seen that coming in, right? They probably should have seen that before we got to this place. That was an evident thing. That was there.
Yeah.
How about this as we continue getting some NFL overreaction or not? And we kind of talked about this a little bit in a roundabout way in around the NFL with the Devontae Adams news. But the Chiefs need to make a trade for a wide receiver. Overreaction or not?
I think that's an overreaction. And part of it is just I don't think they will. Just because, especially in the Devontae Adams case. If they make a minor trade, whatever. But what would that accomplish? I feel like they're pretty comfortable.
Well, are they? It's important to remember they went and got Marquise Brown. He's injured for the mm-hmm. season. Rashee Rice was carted off the field, and he's expected to be out for the rest of the season. Isaiah Pacheco's still out, so it's. I mean,
I don't think it'll be a splash. I'll put it that way. I think it'd be a good solid wide receiver that Patrick Mahomes can turn into a Pro Bowler, something like that. Do you think it is?
This is the tough part, and I mentioned this when we were talking about the idea of Devontae Adams. I do wonder if that trade, we sometimes assume, well, you'll trade and then they'll work out with Patrick Mahomes, and I think you've looked at some of the pieces that they've made, or moves that they made, rather, and they have not necessarily worked out nearly as well as you anticipated. So I do wonder what that looks like, but I do think that they need to find something because that team, they duct taped that team together last year, but yeah. The defense did a lot of carrying. That defense isn't as good as it was last year, and I don't know if that's even a slight because that defense was a monster last year. But if your defense is not going to be that good, you got to find something offensively.
I think they'll do something, but I was thinking more in terms of like the Adams stuff. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough at that high end of this. How about this when we continue NFL overreaction or not? Obviously, the opponent that you had last week was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we saw coming in that there was some turmoil, and we saw going out that there was even more turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Peterson, first coach fired, overreaction or not?
Who? Not an overreaction. I was trying to go through all the coaches in trouble through my head here. There are some. But I don't know if there's anybody that's in more trouble than. And plus, he's already done. It's kind of the kiss of death. You know, they were asking him about his job security. What job security?
Yeah,
me?
Correct.
Me?
Yeah.
You know, the whole defense mechanism of it ain't. It, you know, you're crazy if you think I'm going to lose my job. Well, no, nobody's crazy, and I think he will lose his job. You?
He's first one gone.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we started off in week two, basically, where mm-hmm. you're already having the inclinations that he is not, the message is not landing with his players, and they're looking like, in week three, like they're quitting on the field, man. That's a hard thing to do in the NFL, right? I think about losing the locker room or the clubhouse or the locker room in football as well. When you have a smaller size of a team where it's easier to lose those guys. Football is built as an authority sport where people work off of just the authority of you being the head coach, and there's 53 of them plus whatever practice squad and those things. You have authority built in, and it's harder to lose a locker room. He seems to have done that.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do.
It's funny you use that term because he was asked about that this morning. I'm sure you saw it. I guess there was a report that he has, quote, lost the locker room. And he said, yeah, I would know. I talk to these guys every day. I see them every day. And no, I have not lost the locker room. I don't know if he would know. Like they you know they're going to go to the meetings. They're going to show up and answer the questions.
And they're still going to be professionals.
And they're going to be pros. Yeah. But when the coaches aren't around and that the conversation around the locker room grows, I think it's more than safe to say that he's lost the locker room.
NFL overreaction or reality? The Cleveland Browns need to bench Deshaun Watson.
A little bit of an overreaction.
Really?
I think so, because the investment that you have, he's awful. He hasn't done the job. He's not going to get the job done. I feel I'm at a place now where I can say that safely. But you better find out now, and then what do you do? What do you do if you bench him? Because, that contract is an albatross, and then you pretty much have to kind of start cleaning house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I guess as a head coach,
you don't want to do the thing that's going to get you fired.
Yeah, Stefanski. Yeah, I was like, Stefanski, I don't know what you can do at that point once they've already guaranteed, or if you're going to start cleaning house, because you're built to kind of try and contend in some ways.
But you seem surprised. You think it is not an overreaction.
He's just played. So, I mean, even this past week, and I saw, Quincy Avery, kind of quarterback coach, was like, oh, man, y'all going to talk nice to this man now after this game. And I'm like, yo.
Has he? Are we?
you go look at, and he played better, but even with that better, like, he was averaging, I think, like, below 5 yards, or maybe below 6, definitely, yards per attempt, and, a touchdown interception, and you're like, how good of a situation
That's not
are,
what you signed up
are you actually dealing with here?
Yeah.
Definitely not what you signed up for when it comes to the immense amount of money that you spent just generally, and then the guaranteed nature of that. No, that's not what the Browns signed up for. And finally, as we bring overreaction reality to a close, Los Angeles Rams need to trade Matt Stafford and start thinking about the future.
No, I think that is an overreaction. They've got two receivers injured. Two big time receivers injured.
Correct.
They've won a game that they had no right winning against the Niners, but yet they did, and that was largely because of one Matt Stafford. And so I actually think the Rams might get back on their feet a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Defense is okay. Like, I just don't. I don't think there's anything that pops off the page for me with that team right now. But I guess. While you still have, and you've had Matt Stafford play better in the circumstances, and I think that's why this comes up as an overreaction or reality, like the idea of, hey, getting something out of him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that also seems like a team that they need to try and continue to push, continue to build.
Because if not now, when?
Continue to build the base in that market and all of those things. I guess before we close this out, I do want to hit one more.
Mm-hmm.
This was one that I found to be really interesting, and if circles around the your opponent this week in week 5, the Buffalo Bills. Safeed Dean of USA Today posits the idea that the Buffalo Bills offense is not ready for prime time. Ooh. Especially you looked at the idea that the Bills got run when it came to being up in Baltimore last week.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills offense not ready for prime time.
I think that's recency bias because, boy, they sure did look pretty good against the Jaguars. they looked like they knew what they were doing against the Jaguars. Now, clearly that's the Jaguars, but the Texans had the same opportunity and didn't, or just did enough to win. I'm the guy that was down on the Bills all off season and into the regular season, and they've changed my mind now. That was not a great effort against
Jaguars,
the Ravens.
31 versus the Dolphins and 34 against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, that feels like an overreaction. Mm-hmm. I do think that there are questions. I'm going to be interested to see just how how established, how stable that offense is, and especially when you see some of the reinforcements that are coming back for this Texas team. Can you maybe help make that a reality? Right?
Yeah.
Can you make that a reality where people look up and they go, "Hey, man, this Bills offense maybe not as nice, not as
maybe one of those
able
things
to
where
carry
they're not
it.
As good as they showed, but they're not as bad as they showed."
Sure.
One of those things.
That's a possibility as well. As we get a little overreaction of reality when it comes to the NFL in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday. Coming up next, Lopez, you were real interested in this because we got some grades for the performances in week 4 for your Texans, and there's a particular place where it doesn't stand out. Like, how concerning are these things for your Texans? And let's talk about the offensive line. We'll do it next.